Hear these words from the book of Isaiah. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who lived in the land of deep darkness, on them light has shined. You have enlarged the nation and increased their joy. They rejoice before you as people rejoice at the harvest, as warriors rejoice when dividing the plunder. For as the day in Midian's defeat, you have shattered the yoke that burdens them, the bar across their shoulders, the rod of their oppressors. For unto us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the greatness of his government and peace, there will be no end. Will you pray with me? Gracious God, take these ancient words and break them open. Take these ancient words and break us open. Help us remember what it is we're really waiting for, and what it is we celebrate in this season of your coming. We ask it all in your name. Amen. Well, you see, there once was this little boy, and for Christmas, he wanted a new bike. He wanted a new bike so bad that he went to his mom and dad and said, "What have I got to do in order to get me this new bike for Christmas?" His mom suggested that maybe he write a letter to Santa Claus. But the little boy was confused because he had been involved in his Sunday school's production of the Christmas story. So he thought that maybe writing a letter to Jesus might actually have more power. So instead of writing to Santa Claus, he wrote this letter to Jesus. He said, "Dear Jesus, I have been a very good boy and I would like to have a bike for Christmas." He read it over and said, "Oh, that's not very good." So he took a second draft. "Dear Jesus, I'm a good boy most of the time and I would like a new bike for Christmas." Read it over again, didn't exactly feel like it was fully disclosing the truth, so he wrote it one more time. "Dear Jesus, I could be a good boy, especially if I had a new bike for Christmas." Still not convinced that this would get the message across, he went out for a walk in the neighborhood trying to figure out how to get this dilemma solved. When he came upon a church, and there in its front yard was the nativity scene. He crept up into it, got up close to the Mary statue, grabbed a hold of it, tucked it under his shirt, and then disappeared, and then went home and wrote, "Dear Jesus, if you ever want to see your mother again, you better send me a bike." Can you understand how this season gets so confusing? Like kids, we're not exactly sure what we're supposed to be waiting for this season. It's full of conflicting images and messages. Is it Santa or is it Jesus? Is it the extravagant lights or is it the lowly manger? Is it the shopping and the parties and the cards and the cookies? Or is it the worship and the candles and the praying and the service? Is it a season about what we get or about what we give? Or is it a season that has nothing to do with us really altogether? So let me ask you, this year, Christmas 2010, what are you waiting for? Is it for the big sales? To get the newest gadget or the newest piece of electronics? Is it to get the latest cell phone or the newest video game? What is it you're waiting for this season? Is it to get the Christmas sweaters out of the back of the closet? I'm going to an ugly Christmas sweater party this Friday. You should see the one I got. It's pretty good. Is it for all the letters that come through your mailbox with the updates on what everybody's been up to and where everybody's been in the last year? Is it for the rush and the hustle and the bustle and all of the stress that comes from moving from one event to another? Maybe you're waiting for it all just to be over, just to be done. You know, truth be told, this is a season that's stressful. And for some, this isn't a season that they enjoy at all. So maybe you're just waiting for it all to be done. So how do we figure out what it is that we are waiting for? In order to figure that out, maybe we need to ask ourselves what those who experienced that first Christmas some 2,000 years ago, that coming of Christ, what it is that they were waiting for, what it was that they had experienced. For maybe in seeing those ancient words come to life once again, maybe we can get a sense of what it is we're waiting for, or what it is that's worth waiting for. Remember, as I said at the beginning of our sermon today, those people, those shepherds, those wise men, those town people who were there to experience that first Christmas story, they didn't have the stories that we have. They were living the stories that we tell now. They didn't know the stories of shepherds and wise men. There was no frankincense, no gold, no myrrh, no Mary, no Joseph, no angels. But there was the book of Isaiah, the great prophet of old. Isaiah's message to the people was, you have been waiting a long time for God to come into your midst. And let me tell you what it is you are waiting for, people. Hold on. If you were to sum up Isaiah, especially the last part of Isaiah, in two words, it would be hold on. Don't let go. God is still with us. Hear these words that we read at the beginning. Hear them in the promise that they offer for the people who were waiting. For these words tell us what it is we are waiting for. The people who walked in darkness will see a great light. On those who live in the land of deep darkness, a light will dawn. They will have their joy increased. Their yokes will be shattered. The burdens on their shoulders will be lifted. Every boot used in battle will be gone. For unto us a child will be given, and the government will rest on his shoulders. We will call him Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. What were they waiting for? They were waiting for light in the midst of darkness. They're waiting for hardships to be lifted from their shoulders. They were waiting for a world to finally be at peace. Simply put, they were waiting for the world to change. Notice what they weren't waiting for. They weren't waiting for the 80% off everything sale. They weren't waiting for the new flat screen TV or the new Blu-ray or the HGTV. They weren't even waiting for an iPad. They were waiting for a new world. For the world to change, for it to be different. And friends, isn't that what we're waiting for too? I mean, deep down, strip away all the other stuff. Isn't that why you're here this morning? Isn't that why you're here every Sunday morning? Because we're waiting. We're waiting for the world to change. We're waiting for light to come in the darkness. We're waiting for an end to economic hardships, an end to hunger and poverty and homelessness. We're praying for an end to war, all war. We want the war that rages within us to finally have peace. Aren't we waiting for what they were waiting for? For a new world to emerge? I can tell you that's what the world around us is waiting for. That's what the community who isn't in this place this morning is waiting for. And here's the deal. That during this season where we claim that 2,000 years ago, the one who changed everything, who changed the world, was born. If we claim that this season and the community around us looks at us, they don't see anything different about us. They see us doing what everyone else is doing in this season. Well, then everything else we claim to be true will fall on deaf ears. You see, if all they see in us is a mad dash to get all stressed out, I believe we lose our number one opportunity to tell the world what we've come to know is true. For truth is that no other time of the year, perhaps maybe than Easter, but Christmas and Easter are the time when the community around us will say, boy, maybe I need to go check that out again. Because they're looking for something to change. Here's a word about birthdays. I'm the father of a 2-year-old and a 4-year-old. I can tell you birthdays are a big deal. When you're the father of a 2-year-old and a 4-year-old, you go out of your way to celebrate the birthday of your child. You make sure they get everything they want to have. You make the cake they want. You find the presents they want. They want a Buzz Lightyear party, they get a Buzz Lightyear party. If they want a Spider-Man party, they get a Spider-Man party. If they want a Detroit Lions party, Dad's got to draw the line somewhere. But you know what I'm saying? Birthdays are all about the one whose birthday it is. There's never a day during the year when it's not all about you, then maybe your birthday. So let me ask, this year's Christmas, whose birthday is it anyways? If it's truly a celebration of the birth of Christ, then we should go out of our way to make sure that this season is about the celebration that Jesus would want to have from us. One where more light is brought into the world. One where the burdens of the poor and the downtrodden are lightened. One where peace is brought into our neighborhoods, community, and world. When they look at us, will they know whose birthday it is anyways? I want to give you 3 ways to celebrate Christ's birthday so that we know and the world knows whose birthday it is. One is to get involved here locally, right here in the stuff that we're doing in our church. At the back of the narthex today, you'll see 2 trees. They say Cass Community Social Service on them. When you're out shopping for presents for your family, buy one for a kid who isn't going to get a present this year unless you give it. Buy some clothes, buy a toy, buy whatever, bring it in and put it under that tree. And over these next few weeks, let's watch that mound grow so big that we've got to figure out what it is we got to do to get it out of here. Make sure somebody knows that it's Jesus' birthday this year. The other thing you can do is come here next Saturday and come with me over to West Outer Drive, United Methodist Church, and be the hands and feet and the face of Christ in a neighborhood. I've been all over the world, and I haven't seen poverty like I've seen in Brightmoor. Come and be the hands and feet of Jesus just 2 exits down from us. Second thing you can do is remember Haiti this year in your Christmas giving. It's just less than 40 days. Don and Paul and I will be there. There's no greater humanitarian crisis in the Western Hemisphere than what's happening in Haiti. If anybody needs to know it's Jesus' birthday, it's the people of Haiti. Here's what Bridget and I are doing. We're going to total up everything that we spend on our kids and our family this year, and we're going to take 10% of that and give it to Haiti. I encourage you to consider doing the same. And finally, what I want to challenge Redford Aldersgate to do is not to just make Christmas this season, but find some ways that we can celebrate and communicate to this world whose birthday it really is. Not just this day, but every day, that Christ has come among us and a new world is being born. I went over and met with the principals over at Pierce Middle School across the street this fall, and I said to them, what can we as your neighbors do to help you minister to the children of this neighborhood? And they said, you can do one thing for us. You can give one afternoon a week to make sure that there's a space where kids can go to do their homework. One day a week, Wednesdays, they said would be the best day, because they have something on Tuesdays, they have something on Thursdays, they can't afford to do anything on Wednesdays anymore because of budget cuts. We've got the space. We've got the people. We've got the hearts. We just got to figure out how we're going to do it, friends. And so if you want to help me figure out how we're going to birth this new program so that a new world is emerging right here on our little corner of God's kingdom, I encourage you to pull me on the robe and say, hey, I want to help you out. And I know someone's sitting out there saying, I work during the week. I can't help. You can help. I'm too old. You can help. I don't like kids. We'll find something for you to do. You can make the snack, or you can pray, or let's do this, friends. It's a simple request, and it's how we tell this community that the one whose birthday we say it is really is. Hear these ancient words one more time. The people who have walked in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of deep darkness, a light has dawned. You have enlarged the nation and increased their joy. They rejoice before you as people rejoice at the harvest. For as in the day of Midian's defeat, you have shattered the yoke that burdens them, the bar across their shoulders, the rod of their oppressors. For unto us a child has been given, a son is born, and you will call him Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. I hope you find what you're waiting for this season. I really, really do.